In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today we celebrate the visitation of the Blessed Mother to her cousin Elizabeth. And it is something that is quite touching for us that here the Mother of God has basically no sooner found out that she is going to be the Mother of God and that her cousin Elizabeth, who is elderly, is going to give birth to a son. And she was already in her sixth month. And Mary, the Mother of God, feels compassion for her cousin, so much so that she takes a journey, goes on a journey to see her cousin, to assist her in her maternity. And as soon as she arrives at the house and greets her cousin, we see that Elizabeth says, "The moment your sound entered my ear, the infant in my womb leapt for joy and was sanctified at that moment. The Holy Ghost entered Elizabeth and sanctified St. John the Baptist in her womb." And this is a wonderful little trivia that I like to ask the children quite frequently. Who all was born without original sin? And of course, we generally come along with, yes, the Blessed Mother was born without sin. And they want to tell me that, yes, Jesus was born without sin. I said, but there's one more. He wasn't conceived without sin, but he was born without sin because he was sanctified in his mother's womb before he was born. And that is St. John the Baptist. And it is something wonderful for us to think about the effects of God's presence here on earth. Christ was hidden in the womb of the Blessed Mother. St. John was hidden in the womb of his mother. But yet the nearness of these two individuals is recognized. Grace flows from Christ through the Blessed Mother into Elizabeth and into her womb to St. John the Baptist, who is thereby sanctified by his mere presence. The closeness, the proximity of Christ, the Son of God, has the ability to bring the Holy Ghost into Elizabeth to sanctify St. John the Baptist in his mother's womb. And our Holy Mother, the Church, refers to the Blessed Mother as the living tabernacle. And of course, our children know the tabernacle is on the altar. It has a lock and a key, and we keep our Lord there in the Holy Eucharist. And he is there really and truly, body, blood, soul, and divinity. The living Christ is in our tabernacle. And we come to church to worship him, to be near him, and hopefully to receive him. But when we receive him in Holy Communion, we become like the Blessed Mother. For Christ comes to dwell within our bodies. Really and truly, he comes to be with us as he was with the Blessed Mother. And just being in the presence of God should have a tremendous effect upon us. But most of us have dulled our senses to the graces of God. We've become hardened, you might say, to the graces of the Holy Ghost, the effects of the Holy Ghost. And we come to the presence of God, but we don't really think about, we don't understand, we don't receive the graces that are offered to us. I've quite frequently been saying that, you see, God isn't going to drag us into heaven kicking and screaming. I'm not going to drag you into church kicking and screaming. God invites us. You want to come to heaven? Come. I will help you. I will give you the graces. I will even carry you if you want, but if you're going to fight me, you can stay outside. I'm not going to force you. And I think all too often, We expect our religion, our faith, to be some kind of superstitious event. You see, if I do this, this, and this, then I'll get to go into heaven. I fulfill the requirements. I came to church on Sundays and holy days of obligations. I fasted and abstained on the days appointed. I've done all these things. And we think, okay, now I'm safe. Just doing those things externally doesn't make you pleasing to God. Many are called, but few are chosen. The scriptures speak of the Israelites. They all crossed the Red Sea. They were all in the desert. They all ate of the manna that fell from heaven. They all saw the cloud in the sky and followed it through the desert. But the scripture says, with most of them, God was not well pleased. And it is a frightening thing for us to consider. How many times have we received God, not eaten manna from heaven, but the body and blood of Christ, received the living God into our bodies? Was God pleased with us? Did we make proper preparation? How have we received him? I look at the sanctification of St. John the Baptist in today's feast, and I think, why do we not have that same effect in our own souls? Why do our Catholics who received Christ in Holy Communion not go throughout the door of the church and sanctify those around them? They have Christ living within them. The graces of Christ, these gifts, are not going to be forced down our throats. We have to want them. We have to desire them. We have to ask for them. We have to seek them. And we have to treasure them. And so it is just as important for us to make the thanksgiving after Holy Communion as we did in making the preparation for Holy Communion. These gifts of God are true treasures from heaven that he gives to us freely. What do we do with these gifts? How do we receive them? The transformation is very clear, that Mary is the living tabernacle, that Christ has come to this world through her, through this living tabernacle, and that we are called upon in Holy Communion to become another living tabernacle, that Christ is going to come into the world through us, and that we carry him out into the world with us, that the world is to be transformed by us, not by us personally, but by Christ through us. You see, it is not the Blessed Mother who takes away the sins of the world, but it is through the Blessed Mother that he who takes away the sins of the world has come into the world. And is it that St. Louis de Montfort says, to Christ through Mary. And we are all to become like Mary and to bring Christ out into the world. It is not we who are going to transform the world around us, but it is going to be Christ living within us. And this transformation is not just for the religious or those spiritually inclined, it's for everyone. God is calling us all to this life, his life within us. And we should really begin to imitate St. Paul, so that at least at the end of our lives we can say with St. Paul, that I have run my course, I have fought the good fight. And it is no longer I, but Christ living within me. The words that you hear are not mine. The life that I'm living is not mine, but it is Christ living within me. If there is any good that comes out, it is the gift of God coming forth from me. And the most that I can claim to is that I have been his instrument. And that should be our attitude, that should be our goal. Each and every day we need to strive to make ourselves this instrument of the grace of God, this holy vessel, this tabernacle that Christ comes to dwell in. St. Paul reminds us that our bodies are the living temple of God. We should have respect for our bodies, for this flesh that we're in. For it is the living temple of God. And this living temple of God needs to be kept holy. It needs to be kept pure. It needs to be cleansed. And you say, but I did that last week, or I did that the week before. That won't fly with most mothers who tell their children, go clean your room. I just did it last week, and why bother? It's just going to get dirty again. Why bother striving to be holy and pleasing to God? I'm just going to fall again. And we can even make excuses. You see, the scripture says the just man falls 7 times a day. What good am I? Why should I bother? Why should I wash my hands before I eat? Was it last week or so? Do I have to wash again? My fingers will get all pruny and wrinkly. Mothers aren't going to buy it. Go wash your hands and use soap this time. If we can see this for our bodies, why can we not see the necessity of cleaning our souls? Of washing our souls. We're not going to be receiving worldly things into our bodies. It's not food for our bodies, but we are going to be receiving spiritual things, and so we need to have that spiritual cleansing. I think of St. Francis of Assisi. Whenever he saw one of the brothers downcast or gloomy, he would say, brother, go wash your face. And everyone understood he wasn't speaking about physically washing their face. He was telling them, go to confession and wash your soul. And come back here, not downcast, not gloomy, but refreshed, washed, clean. For St. Francis saw clearly, it is the filth on our soul that causes us to be downcast, to be sad. For if Christ is living within us, if we have the grace of God dwelling within us, there is no cause to be sad. There's no reason to be downcast. But on the contrary, there is all the more reason to be filled with joy, to rejoice. Our soul magnifies the Lord. And you say, but I've got this cross, I've got this difficulty in my life, I've got all these problems. Surely I have a right to be downcast. Not if Christ is living within you. You can do all things in him who strengthens you. These crosses, according to the promise of Christ, are going to be turned into joy. They will be made light. They will be made sweet. They will be a cause to lift you up, not make you downcast, not to drag you down. They will be the means of your sanctification, and if Christ is living within you, you will be able to carry that cross. He will give you the strength. The reason we fall downcast is because we've chased the Holy Ghost out, we've chased Christ out. We've refused to be this temple of the Holy Ghost. We've refused to be the living tabernacle of Christ. And if God is not in our lives, this life is very depressing, very difficult. But if Christ enters our hearts, our souls, enters our lives, enters our bodies, we're filled with the grace of God, then it doesn't matter what's going on in the world around us. It doesn't even matter what happens to our bodies. Our hearts are filled with joy, rejoicing in Christ, perhaps even welcoming the dissolution of this body. I reference St. Paul, I'll do it one more time. St. Paul prayed to God to free him from this body of death. When can my body here on earth be dissolved so that I can go to heaven to be with Christ, whom I love? That is the effect of having Christ dwelling within us. We are filled with joy here and now, despite all the problems, the difficulties, the pain, the suffering of this life. In spite of all that, we have joy in our hearts. And we look forward to an eternal joy in heaven. But we must imitate the Blessed Mother and welcome Christ into our lives, into our bodies, into our hearts, into our minds, into our very souls. Benedictio Dei Omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendit super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.